Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Boy, we have not talked baseball at all today because of everything happening with the Kansas City Chiefs, but another big series starts at Kauffman Stadium tonight with the Royals and the Blue Jays ready to get it on at 7:15 tonight. Big Slick is in full effect, the celebrity softball game before the Royals take on the Blue Jays. Jake Junis on the mound for the Royals. J-Hap for the Toronto Blue Jays. To talk about that, Mike McFarland joins us. Hello, Mac. How are you?
Steven, what's going on, man? Finally going to get a break in the weather. Good night for baseball. Good series. Royals going to get over 500 this weekend. That's a call. And so, making a charge at first place by the All-Star break. There you go. Is Nate there?
Nate is fired up at your words. How about that?
There you go, Mr. Happy. How's that for a start to your day?
Mr. Happy?
What's that supposed to mean? I'm not Mr. Happy?
Oh, I don't know. What? You're always so damn miserable about everything. There was just some good words for you to get you going a little bit.
I didn't realize I was so miserable.
You know what? Hey, cheer up, Nate.
All right.
Things are good. Mac,
let's go.
I was out there for 2 days ago. It was my anniversary, and so we were all fired up to go to the Royals game and then go to the Def Leppard Poison Tesla concert, which was fantastic, Mac. But Salvador Perez with one hell of a present for me and my wife and the rest of the Royals fans. How about that grand slam that won the game and won the series against the Boston Red Sox? That was a hell of a moment, and that day I had just gone on and on about, man, I love Salvi. I know it's one thing to maybe be saying goodbye to some of these players. I'm so glad that they have him signed for long term, because not only what he does on the field but off the field, he's just I love Salvador Perez. But damn it, Mac, that grand slam, that was huge. That won the series.
How cool was that? I seriously think if that pitcher would have thrown the rosin bag at Salvi, he would have swung at him. I mean, he was up there in full hack mode. And, you know, at some point you got to look at that and go, all right, one run's going to be better than three or four right here. Looked like Cook altered his delivery to kind of shorten up. And, boy, he threw one that just found the barrel. And that's one of those things that, you know, the last couple of years ago when they were getting on those rolls, you know, it was almost like they just hung around long enough for the other team to do something stupid and make their own mess, i.e. walk the damn bases loaded, and then someone comes up with a clutch hit, or you get an aggressive base-running situation and they take advantage of it, or you get an extra out. And it was just one of those situations that you got to start thinking, all right, the worm's turned. And, you know, we said it a couple weeks ago, guys, against the Astros when – you know, you start missing the aces of the staff. You start winning games when the ace of your staff is out. You start to get on a little bit of a roll, and this team and organization the last 5 years have just been amazing when it comes to their ability to feed off those extra outs and things like that and get on a roll and get on a sustained roll. So, you know, look, I'm feeling really good about how things are going right now, and you know, the organization should stay on pat. You're three games out, two games out in a wild card, whatever it is, and just push this thing as far as possible.
Let me heap more praise upon Salvador Perez. And look, he could not keep up this pace. He could wear down. A lot of things could happen. But right now, this far into the season, he's on pace to have 34 home runs and 96 ribbies. He's hitting .292 with a .533 slug percentage. I mean, across the board, he has an opportunity to have his career year offensively, and you combine with what he does as far as leadership and behind the plate. I mean, Mac, how impressed have you been with what you've seen from him just as a hitter so far this year?
Just invaluable in every aspect. And, yes, while losing Danny Duffy was a big blow, and you've had Alex out last year, and you've had these situations, it has been said, and – look, I'm the one that says it. You cannot, under any circumstances, lose Salvador for any stretch of time. It would be an absolute a blow to you that I don't think you can recover. Love Butera, love Drew and what he does, but everything that goes around Salvi, from the leadership standpoint to the comfort and confidence that the pitchers have pitch in and pitch out with him behind the plate, to just his attitude in the dugout, it just is one of those things that grows on everybody and everybody feeds off it. Yeah, he's having a monster year. Best catcher in the game, bar none, hands down. Question has been answered. Just a tremendous player that the Royals are fortunate enough to have for a very long time.
So to go back to the at-bat, Mac, you said that, you know, had the pitcher thrown the rosin bag up there, he would have been swinging. And he said it was hilarious after the game. He said, look, you guys know me. I'm not going up there to walk. I'm swinging. and he knew his numbers. He's like, look, I've got 10 walks at 240 at-bats. That's not my thing. But you just said the bases just got walked full, and the guy that just came in couldn't even come close to the strike zone against Haas. Did you have any guys that you played with where you're like, you know what, this guy, it doesn't matter if the pitcher can't find the strike zone, he's going to go up swinging and we're good with it because it's Salvador Perez. Did you have somebody like that you played with?
Well, played against. I mean, the Nomar Garcia Parra was a guy that in the scouting reports, you treated him as the second he stepped in the batter's box, treat him like it was an 0-2 count. Just go at him with that thought process in mind. Didn't walk and was a straight-on hacker. The problem is he would go up there and hit pitches out of the strike zone and get hits and do damage that way. He was one of the best hitters that I ever saw. And again, another guy, Vladimir Guerrero, that just wouldn't walk and would go up there looking to put the bat on the ball. And Salvi's the same way. You got to understand when he gets things out of whack and he's not swinging the bat well and everyone's chastising him for, God, would take a pitch every now and then. Well, you gotta understand there's some good in that as well, and we saw the benefits of him being a hack monster that just goes up there and swings at it and lets it go. So you got to live with it when he's scuffling a little bit and chasing pitches out of the zone and it's not finding the bat, because you know there's going to be days like the other day when, yeah, he's going to go up there and in swing mode and put the barrel on it and basically win the damn game for you.
All right, Mac, I need your help here. You talked to Nate about cheering up. I need you to talk to my man Jake here, because I've tried to encourage him gently to believe and to enjoy, and if you like, the Royals are officially back in this thing. He has dug his heels in and said he will not buy in until they get to 500, which could be tonight, as they're 35-36. But then I feel like if they get to 500, maybe I'll hear it, wow, they got to get above 500. Will you please talk to Jake and maybe any other naysayers? Mac, do you really believe the Royals are contenders? They're 4 games out of the division, 2 games out of the wild card. Danny Duffy is going to have a rehab start on Saturday, so he's close to coming back. Hopefully there's no setbacks. Do you believe the Royals can do this?
Absolutely. And it like I told you, it turned the corner for me about 3 weeks ago when you started seeing a little different step in their bounce, and or different bounce in their step, and just started to see, you know, call it Royals baseball, whatever you want. Every extra out that they were given, they took advantage of it. Aggressive base running, catching the team falling asleep, started get back, you know, I think it's, you know, Lorenzo Cain and finding his swing, and Salvi being hot and Moustakas having a career year. And then you got Witt and Bonifacio, guys that you weren't depending upon, all of a sudden become huge contributors from the offensive standpoint. We're going to make the best trade prior to the trade deadline out of any team in baseball, because we're going to get an ace back. We're going to get an ace and Danny Duffy coming back into the rotation. So throw that into the mix. It's just one of those feelings that you have, very rare in baseball, when you get on a type of roll like that and you start to feel invincible. You just know the other team is going to make a mistake. They're going to make an error, and you're just going to take advantage of it and keep yourselves on this roll. So it's a hell of a lot more fun watching them play right now than it was a month and a half ago, that's for sure.
Again, Danny Duffy beginning his rehab assignment in Omaha on Saturday, as Justin Dodd tweets out, a little ahead of schedule. But also, late last night, and with all the Chiefs news, this kind of went under the radar. Ken Rosenthal first tweeted out that the Royals, in agreement with reliever Neftali Feliz, pending physical. He was somewhat effective last year for Pittsburgh. He had a 3.52 ERA, but a 1.13 WHIP and 53 innings. 61 strikeouts, not bad. He goes to Milwaukee, and they name him the closer to start the season, and he was not good at all, and ended up being released by the Brewers, but the Royals jump on him. Any thoughts there as they try to look, try to get this reclamation project and maybe make an addition to the bullpen?
Well, yeah, outstanding. A power arm with a good off-speed pitch and the fork ball, whatever it is, change up, power change up. Give him to Dave Island. I mean, we've seen what Dave Island can do with just some mechanical tweaks here and there to get a guy right. And let's say you get him going half of what he was a couple years ago. A pretty damn good arm to bring into the pen. So another shot in the dark, see what happens. It seems to be one of those things that we just find some guys that we give them a second chance, give them a second life, and through the coaching staff and through the organizational scouting that must see something in them, that they pick them up and they get around a winning atmosphere in a different organization that's, on a little bit of a hot streak where you get a new change in uniform and good things happen. So, hopefully it's one of those pickups that we look back 2 months from now and say, damn, what a great acquisition that Dayton and the organization made.
So, Mac, it's kind of interesting that with the Blue Jays coming to town this weekend, how much their season kind of mirrors the Royals. They were a team that was supposed to be in contention. They got off to a horrible start, even worse than the Royals did. And now they're basically in the same spot. They had the identical record to the Royals until yesterday because they played in the Royals, didn't they? Lost, so they're a half game worse than the Royals. Now they're in a different division, so their situation's a little different in that regard because, they're five games out, but they are kind of back in that wild card contention. How dangerous do you think the Blue Jays are as a team that's kind of doing the same thing that the Royals are right now, which is, getting better as the season goes on?
Well, they can score some runs, Nate, and that's without Encarnacion in their lineup. So they're finding some production from other guys. Bautista's swinging it a little bit better, so that's been helping out. You got Marco on the mound that I think we face him tomorrow night, so you have a couple good arms there. But, yeah, they've been playing much better ball. They've been out slugging people, which has been their key. I mean, they were just horrible at the start when your Pilar and center fielder couldn't catch a fly ball and missing ground balls, but he's back to playing gold glove level defense, and they're playing much better baseball. Yeah, they're mirroring us, but they're also in a division that's pretty tough with the Yankees. The Orioles have been stinking it up, but they were playing good ball early on, so it is a different division. It'll be interesting to see. It is a good hitting ball club. It's going to be a good test for Junis tonight to try and keep them off balance. But look, don't discount the Royals fans and how wound up they're going to be with a special night going out there at the K. It's going to be under 197 degrees out on the field, so it'll be comfortable. And, fans are going to be wound up. It's going to be a good atmosphere for ball this weekend.
So for Jake Junis, what are we looking for early on in the game that might suggest he'll be successful against the Blue Jays?
Just ugly swings. He's got to be able to get that off-speed pitch and keep him off balance. What I like from Junis is his ability to pitch backwards, off-speed pitches and fastball counts, and surprising him with a little jump in his fastball to get the outs. I'm a big believer with those guys, and same thing with Hamill, getting them to pitch a little bit backwards and get their off-speed pitches and get some ugly swings at that and put a little bit of doubt in their mind whether a fastball or off-speed pitch is coming, and just makes their fastball that much more effective.
Mac, I mentioned Danny Duffy will begin his rehab assignment on Saturday in Omaha, and he threw on Tuesday to live hitters, and then he said after that he felt good enough that he's ready for his rehab assignment, so it's a little bit ahead of schedule. Ned Yost had said he's going to begin with a 3-inning or 45-pitch outing and then build up to 5 innings or 75 pitches in his third start. And so the timetable says that maybe around the All-Star break. Would you just wait till after the All-Star break and give him a few extra days after that? You don't want to rush him back and have him re-aggravate that thing. How would you handle this?
No, you know Danny's temperament. He wants to be back yesterday. So you almost have to protect the player from themselves and make sure that you keep yourself on whatever Nick feels is the right way to go. Those obliques are tricky. They come back quicker than, you know, when they said 8 weeks, I was like, Jesus, you didn't tear a stomach muscle, for God's sake. It's just you pull a fat muscle in there, and it's painful, and it just takes time. You can't ice it. You can't treat it other than rest. So trying to protect the player from themselves is going to be the biggest thing, because, you know, Danny's chomping at the bit to come back, and, you know, he's the type of kid that wants to earn his salary. Feels bad for being on the DL and wants to hurry back as quickly as possible to get back with his boys, but him from himself in this situation and stick to the plan that Nick Kenny is laid out for him. And you know what? If it is the All-Star break, so be it. But don't be surprised if Danny's back even the series before the All-Star breaks.
Mac, one of the people that we'll see coming to town this weekend with the Blue Jays now is Kendrys Morales. And Steven asked me the question yesterday, you know, how I would remember him as a part of that World Series championship team. And, you know, I think I said that I think he might have been the most important player offensively for that team, but he's also the guy that in 5 to 10 years from now, they'll people be going, oh, yeah, Kendrys Morales was on that team. How should we remember Kendrys Morales and his time with Kansas City?
As an absolute RBI machine, period. I was disappointed that we didn't re-sign him. I still think he has a number of good years left in him. Just pure hitter from both sides of the plate, run producer, guys that are hard to find. And obviously he's having a good year there in Toronto. And during this time has been the key cog in that lineup that get into position. And, you know, he's one of those guys, Nate, you get a runner on third, less than two outs, you might as well just score him, because he's just a professional hitter in every sense. He understands what he needs to do, and he looks for a pitch in a cripple count, generally doesn't miss it. And, you know, I expect him to get a huge ovation tonight when he steps into the box. I just love watching that guy hit.
Mike McFarland is our guest. And, Mac, how will you, when it's all said and done, how will you remember Jose Bautista?
Guy could rake. I mean, look, he can flat out hit.
Right.
Seems to be a step behind this year. Antics aside, whatever you want to think about it, you know, to a certain extent, I don't have that much of an issue with him. He's one of those guys that you hate playing against. You think he's a jerk. You think he's a donkey. And then when you're on the team with them, you want that guy up to bat in any pressure situation. So it's a love-hate relationship for guys in MLB, but when it comes down to it, the guy can rake, pure and simple.
You know, and when we talk about all of our favorite memories from 2014 and 2015, I don't think Game 6 of the ALCS gets enough love, because that's right up there at the top.
Yeah.
Sitting through the rain delay, and you know, remember when Ryan Madsen gives up the home run, and then Wade Davis comes out before the rain delay, and we're all thinking, oh, they already used Wade, and now when they come back, he's not going to be able to go. And then when he comes back out like a freaking superhero and finishes the game off, and then, you know, the Lorenzo Cain, when he scores and jumps up, and I'm jumping up and throwing out my back out there when Lorenzo Cain's celebrating. That wasn't, of all those moments, wasn't that night and getting back to the World Series, because I was just sure they were going to go back and win it after losing the year before. Wasn't that a freaking awesome series and an awesome night at Kauffman Stadium?
Now, look, you can go to every game and have one of those goosebump moments, in whether it's Houston, whether it's Toronto. You can just keep going on and on and on and on about the Royals and the 2 years World Series runs. There's a moment in each game where you just stand up and pump your fist and go, you know, blankety blank, yeah. So, I mean, it's... Uh-huh. Up and down those games, it's just a hell of a lot of fun when your team is in those situations and just watching the guys perform and playing like you've seen them play the entire year and continue it going in a pressure situation. I mean, that's the fun of it. And being a former player and watching the guys do it for your organization and everything else, you get fired up and you want to be out there competing with them.
Yeah, Bautista had a couple of bombs in that game, too. Remember how hard he hit those balls?
Well, pretty well struck.
Speaking of antics, Mac, I just want to get your thoughts on the two big controversies from this week in baseball, which was Yasiel Puig getting lectured by the Mets as he rounded the bases on his home run, and then the debate about Jerod Dyson breaking up Verlander's perfect game with a bunt. Do you have an issue or a stance on either of those stories?
Okay, so Yasiel Puig getting lectured by Flores, the guy that was crying during a game, that is situation? Yeah, save it, Mets. Please, just save it. You guys aren't playing well. You're not going anywhere. Your manager's on the hot seat. Personally overrated, except for some electric arms. So let's leave that one alone. Yeah, Puig is Puig. I mean, what was it bad? I don't know. It wasn't all that bad to me. And Dyson Bunton, one, that's one of his weapons. Two, it's the sixth inning. Okay, it's the sixth inning. If it's the eighth inning, okay, then you might have a little bit of a beef. But the guy's a bunter. The guy leads the world in bunt base hits. It's what he does. So I had no problem with that. And save it, Wilmer Flores. You know, the guy hit a bomb. Do something about it. Go up and get a hit yourself one time. Is that a little too harsh, Nate, or was that
No,
okay?
That was perfect. That's exactly what we were looking for.
Never too harsh, Mac. Right. Thank you. Mac, enjoy the series this weekend. Thank you so much for the time.
You got it, boys. Have a good weekend.
That is former Royals catcher Mike McFarland, who joins us every Friday as the Royals take on the Blue Jays at Kauffman Stadium this weekend. So should be a tremendous weekend. And I'll be out there tonight as the Big Slick and Celebrity Softball game is going to be going on. I will be enjoying the game as I did on Wednesday when Salvador hit a Salvadong and put the Royals over the Boston Red Sox and helped them win the series. Also, I want to mention tomorrow I will be at Maker Faire, Kansas City, at Union Station. A great event for the family if you got the kids or if you've got a big kid named Jake that likes to build things and invent things and chase. You'd like to go around, you'd like to chase that R2-D2 around there, wouldn't you?
I would.
Never
I absolutely would.
No, there's a whole bunch of them.
Oh, I can get them.
There's more than one.
Can I come?
Yep. Phil's going to go. Phil will be there. Julia will be there. How about this? The two kids that don't like to do anything want to go to Maker Faire because they've been there before and they know
the three kids that don't want to do anything.
Right, you too.
Yes,
I can give no better reason and no better testimonial that I cannot get Phil or Julia to go anywhere or do anything. They can't wait to go to Maker Faire at Union Station. They love it. It's a gathering of fascinating, curious people who enjoy learning, love sharing what they can do. It's called the greatest show and tell on earth, a family-friendly showcase of invention, creativity, resourcefulness. They have the Casey R2 Club there that has R2-D2 running around and chasing Jake. It's all kinds of great stuff. So, and by the way, food trucks. Not that that's the biggest draw.
What time is going down?
By the way, it is. Oh, man. I'm going to be there from 10 until noon. You can get all the information you need, kansascity.makerfair.com. And if you want to come out when I'm down there, I'll be there from 10 until noon. And I'm sure the kids will have me stay longer so they can have some fun. If you would like tickets, you got a family four-pack on you?
I think I only have three now.
We got a, oh boy. If you would like Jake in your family for this event, he would like to be a part of your family four-pack.
I probably can't be down there until 11:30, but that's right in time for the food trucks, right?
Right. Saturday, 10 until 6. Huh. Sunday, 10 until 5. Here is a family four-pack of tickets to Maker Faire, Kansas City, by calling 913-3810, caller number 10, 913-3810. I'll send you to Maker Faire. I'll be there tomorrow at Union Station from 10 until noon. I will see you soon at Maker Faire. Back after this on WHB.